exported to Idaho and Wyoming. They didn't vote for this. So, a lot of people are saying it's a states' rights thing. It's not states' rights at all because we're getting all the extra marijuana. They're growing way more marijuana than they can legally consume.
So please remember, you can always find us online at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McEntee, and you're live at Huntington County Radio Station. This is Health and Home. A couple things today. We have a little change in agenda. It's Autism Awareness Month, and we'll do something on that. But a special guest is going to join me today, helping me fill the space because I had a little cancellation. And Chris McMahon will join me from eXp Realty. Chris is an experienced realtor and will give us some insights onto buyers and sellers and myths and facts about the market. Also this week, a little self-promotion for my son. He is playing in Young Frankenstein down at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank on May 3rd, 4th, 5th, the 11th, and the 12th. Limited run. Guess what part he's playing? I told him he got it because he doesn't need any makeup because he's playing Frankenstein, but that's just a little joke. But come down and see it. I don't know if you've been to the Count Basie lately, but they just finished a renovation, and the theater's restored to its magnificent state. And they put on some good plays there. Come down, have dinner at the Buenos Aires, and come see a play. Again, that's Young Frankenstein on May 4th, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 11th, and 12th. Next week on the 19th, we don't have a show on the 19th. It's Good Friday, and the radio station the Chamber of Commerce will not be open from Good Friday. So tune in the following week, and we're going to have guest Kelly Malazzo. Kelly Malazzo is a mother, and she started an Autism Awareness Foundation, the Greenwich Autism Allowance Foundation, which supports adults and gives away grants for adults with autism in the spectrum for work programs. Hopefully she's going to join us with her son, Will, 21, and I'm looking forward to that. So join us on the 26th again, and we'll have Kelly Malazzo, and we'll discuss in the last week of the month autism. In early May, we're going to have another guest on that subject, but that's what we're going to do then. I'm going to do the weather, and then when we come back, we're going to just talk about Dex for a few minutes to just give Chris some time. After the first break, Chris McMahon will join us, and we'll go from there. So hang in there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Okay, we're back with the weather. The weather today, as soon as I can bring it up here, it's going to be 75 high. So it feels like spring is here with a low of 58. Some showers this afternoon. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high of 77 and 52. So it looks like Saturday will be a good day to get out there and watch some baseball. Sunday, we're going to see actually call for some thunderstorms, if you can believe that. 64 degrees with a 57 low. And Monday on the AM, thunderstorms again at 66, 41. And then Tuesday, finally, the sun reappears at 65 and 45. I guess we shouldn't be too surprised with the thunderstorms. I mean, after all, I saw thunderstorms in the Midwest with, half a foot of snow. So I guess we're still lucking out there. We're going to talk for a few minutes just about decks because I've done a couple of decks in the last couple of weeks that are really scaring me because they're elevated decks. And an elevated deck, a ground deck is considered a ground deck with a couple feet within the ground. But these decks were 13, 14 feet in the air, quite large. I mean, some of them were extending from the house 20 feet, 18 feet, 15 feet, and could hold quite a bit of people because I don't think has anybody ever asked how much the deck could hold when you go out onto it? You assume that it was built to hold anything that you could put on it, but that's not always the case. And one of the things that particularly strikes me is that, a lot of decks are built well, but they're not built correctly. Built well doesn't mean, it means a lot in a sense that it may not fall, but if it does fall, it's catastrophic. And decks don't fail one board at a time. They fail catastrophically. When you see them in the news, it's not like one board fell and they said, oh, look that. It's usually when about, a dozen people are on the deck and it falls and people are hurt. Attaching a deck to a house is a very special process, and if you got an elevated deck, I ask you to review it and look at it. Particularly, we're going to just talk about the rim joist and the ledger board. The ledger board is what attaches the deck to the house. It should be straight on the house. It shouldn't be on a cantilevered portion. For instance, if you have a bi-level on the first floor, sticks out quite a bit from the floor from the first floor. You can't bolt the ledger onto the end of the house and attach a deck. The joists, which are the beams that run the length of the deck, either have to extend into the soffit and into the wall, so the weight is transferred to the wall of the lower floor, or you have to put a post and beam along the house. Well, this week I had two decks that were elevated quite high, and the rim joist was just bolted to the side of the house. And I couldn't even tell it was bolted because it was covered up. It could have been nailed for all I know. And it should be bolted, or structural screws are now used. But those are some things that, you know, more advanced skills. If you don't know what they are, you should let the professional install it or design it before you do it. Also, you should take the siding off the house and attach the ledger board directly to the rim joist, which is part of the house. And the load has to be transferred to the wall. So two decks I had that were like that, and they were quite large. And the trouble is, when you get 10 or 15 people out in there and you have music playing and the deck is momentum is going, and if it's not attached correctly, it could fail. Now, granted, most of the decks that you see out there, even if they're built in correctly, won't fail. So I don't want to scare anybody, but I want you to look at it. Look at how your rim joist is attached to the house. Make sure it's bolted or structurally screwed into the house and that it's supported correctly underneath. You can look it up in the on the web and see what – there's a couple good websites that just show you do's and don'ts in attaching a ledger board. A couple things, it should be flashed. And what that means is a Z-flashing on top of the board to keep it from rotting, because what happens is the water will come down the house and sit on that ledger board, and it'll end up rotting it out. Also, there's new types of lateral brackets that attach the joist to the house to keep the lateral movement, because you want to keep the weight being passed down to the beams. So keep that in an eye. Look, if you have an elevated deck, research it. Look at it. Have somebody look at it that knows what they're doing. And it's just one of those things that we take for granted until we have that first birthday, and then we have a problem on it. We have that first birthday, and we have, you know, a whole family out there, and then we have a catastrophic problem. So continue to check those things, and we'll go from there. Let's see what we got today. I'm a little disheveled because I had a guest scheduled, but they bailed out on me, so we'll get them back again another time. With this, we'll do a couple commercial breaks, and then when we come back, we're going to get Chris McMahon on the line. Bear with me, because it's the first time I'm going to connect the phone system to the radio station, and we're going to hopefully be able to pull this off for you. So hang on, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I guess I did that right. Well, Michelle's directions are good, so I appreciate that. Chris McManus with eXp Realty, and Chris, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience.
Sure. So I am a licensed real estate agent with the DeVoe Group, one of their team leaders. We did $130 million in sales last year, just over 300 transactions. We're in five states, Florida, Arizona, New York, New Jersey, and California. As you mentioned, I'm with eXp Realty. We're the fastest-growing real estate company, agent-owned. And for your listeners, you know, I'd like to say that the eXp is like the Netflix of the real estate industry. We're not brick-and-mortar. We're in the cloud. And that's how, you know, our agents are happier that way. You know, we're able to run our own business that way. I've been in the business a little over 4 years. I really enjoy it. I don't see it as a job. This is a very rewarding career for me, and you know I'm happiest when my buyers and sellers are, you know, hitting their goals, and I'm a part of that. So I go very deep with my clients, and I don't see it as a job. It's really a career, and it's very rewarding.
Well, I've done a number of inspections with Chris, and I do see that. I see that your customers really enjoy your company and your friendship, so I appreciate that. And it goes like anything else. I mean, I've done sales for 30 years, and people buy from people, and relationships are key. But let's talk about eXp just a little bit. You say the Netflix, and you say no brick and mortar in a sense, but really, I haven't seen that difference between that and the other realtor. To tell you the truth, is that you're still hands on. You're still in the car. You're still taking people out. You're still looking for the best house.
Yeah, it is about relationships, you know. And whether I'm sitting in my home office or in an office, you know, in a traditional brokerage, it doesn't really matter. It matters about the. You know, it's a service industry. So when I'm face to face with a client, or as you said, out with a buyer or a seller, it's about that relationship and understanding where people are coming from, what's motivating them, and ultimately what gets them to where they want to be.
Yeah, and I can see that in this industry, that technology is really taking changing it a little bit, in the sense that you know, I've worked from home since 1997 when they closed my office in Parsippany and sent us home. And at first, I didn't like it. I mean, and I still miss the office once in a while, I'll tell you the truth. You miss the camaraderie and all that. But productivity probably went up, and I work more hours. I'm home with my family, so I'm happier. At the same time, you know, my customers don't suffer because I'm still working, you know, and I'm actually working more hours. I'm not spending 2 hours on Route 80, that's for sure. But
yeah, you know, because we don't have the, you know, the traditional salaries and the rent and the overhead, agents here are just, they're happier. You know, they get paid more. As a result, they're happier doing what they do.
And maybe you can tell us a little bit about being an agent, because one of the things I found out, I mean, you know, I've known agents all my life. I mean, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, when I got into the home inspection business, my eyes were kind of wide open, opened a little wider, I should say, because agents do a lot more than, you know, shuttle coffee and open doors. Some people think they get paid a lot, but and they're not paid poorly, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of pieces that get cut up there, and then there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, I think anybody's been through a house processing can appreciate it, because they know what it's like to go through all those steps and to have somebody to guide you.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that most people don't realize what we do. You know, it's a full-time job. I do work 50, 60, 70 hours a week. You know, the research that goes into it, the interactions, the negotiations, a lot of things, 90% of it happens without the buyer or seller being involved. It's what goes on behind the scenes.
You know, and in New Jersey, even though we use attorneys, in some states the agents even do more because they actually do the legal negotiations too. But it's key to have a good relationship with a real estate attorney that knows what they're doing. One of the things I will advise people, or maybe I don't advise them, but I recommend that they use an attorney that knows real estate, not just a friend of the family that is a lawyer, because the process can be daunting, it can be encompassing, and it can be time-consuming if you don't have somebody that knows the ropes.
Yeah, that's key. You know, especially when I'm working with a buyer, I will introduce the entire team very early on in the process. It's not just me. It's a good attorney. It's a great home inspector. It's having specialists involved where it needs to be. Your lender, you have to be on the same page with all these people that play a big part in the transaction. And a lot of times, in every case, really, it's part of the team is extended to the agent on the other side. You know, everyone's in the same boat, so to speak, and everyone's working towards the same goal. And it's bringing together a buyer and seller. To reach the same goal.
Yeah, and I see that. The good agents out there that really want the best for their customer want to match them with the right house. And that's interesting that you say it like that, because I look at it this way. I mean, you know, I say maybe I won't need an agent. That's because I when I think about it, I think I'm going to be in my house where I am now. I'm going to be buying where I know, and I'm going to be buying in an area where I know people and I have contacts. But most people are buying a house, they're out of pocket. They're away from their home. They're not in an area where they know. And they need recommendations. They need the real estate agent. And in all my networking groups, the real estate agents are like the golden child, because they have the keys to the new buyer or the new person in the area that needs recommendations for restaurants, doctors, dentists. And I think a lot of people look to their agents for that, because it's the one person that they know in the area and they trust.
Yeah, it's really key to work with someone that knows the area, that can point all of those things out. And when you don't know, and I don't know something, I'll flat out and say, I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to find the answer for you and connect you to the expert.
That's big, because, you know, I said it in my show earlier, not this show, but in an earlier show. You have to say, I don't know. Chris, I think you've seen me say that. People say, well, what's that? I say, I don't know. Let's get the manual out, or how do you work that? I don't know. Because anybody that knows everything probably doesn't know. But, so don't be afraid to say, I don't know, and find out for people. But Chris has got a reservoir of recommendations. I know he's pretty deep in a sense that he can get you somebody to talk to. But ultimately, you got to make your own decision. People make their own decisions, and they should. It's like a job referral. I mean, I've interviewed many people in my lifetime on a referral from somebody, but I never hired somebody because somebody told me to hire them. I give them the interview. That's probably somebody I respect gives me a referral. I'm going to give them that, and they'll get a shot at it. But you still got to do your work, and you still got to do your homework and make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. A lot of people out there, and a lot of bad people out there that do, they're not bad people, but they do bad work, or they don't know what they're doing. I've referred chimney people that have done great jobs, and I've done some that I'm not real happy with. So we'll go from there. Let's talk about buyers and sellers, Chris. It's springtime, so I'm thinking buyer market, because I'm thinking all these people are out there now and are anxious to either to buy a house. I mean, and we'll talk about sellers after the break, but let's talk about buyers and what they should do. What are some of the myths or some of the problems, or what are the things that they should be looking to do if they're looking to buy?
Sure. I'll give you the skinny on it, because I could probably talk for 2 hours about it. I know we don't have that much time. But, you know, if you're looking to buy a house, number one, do your research. Yes, you're going to hire a great real estate agent that's going to know about the area, but there's a lot of research that buyers should do on their own. I will never assume that I'm going to, one of the questions I get is, how the school system, but I'm never going to assume that I'm going to know what's best for someone else's children. right? So I'll guide them to resources that will, you know, show them the ratings of schools and the test scores. And they can do their own research and determine if the school system's right for them. Now, same goes with the neighborhood and the commute. You know, especially a lot of buyers will look to move into an area, and if they're not familiar with it, you know, just map it out. You know, take the drive from the neighborhoods that they like to work during an AM commute to see what it's like. You know, and self-discover what style of home you like. That really cuts down on the amount of time that it would take to find that perfect house. That's number one. Number two, you know, hire a team. We talked a little bit about that. You got to realize that it's not just the agent that is going to be involved in the transaction, and realize that you're going to have a team working for you. So take the time to vet those out and take those recommendations and interview multiple resources to pick the best team for you. Consult with your agent. You know, a lot of buyer agent relationships start out with, you know, finding a home they like and reaching out and just looking for a showing. But you can really cut down on the whole process by, you know, consulting with them and being as thorough as possible about what your wants and needs are, and really differentiating between the two, because you got to realize that you're not going to get, you know, so you have 10 things that you think that you have on your needs list, but you're going to have to make some sacrifices. The perfect house, in most cases, really doesn't exist. There's going to be one or two things that you may have to give up. So go into the process realizing that, and understanding, you know, what's really, really important versus something you just might want to have. You know, don't discount the – number four is really just don't discount the inspection process. You know, this is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, investment of your life. And take time to understand the story of the house, you know, and hire professional inspectors and do the tank sweeps and hire specialists when needed. You need to protect your investment. Be proactive, you know, make sure when it comes to especially the lending process and the financial process of this, get your assets in line, talk to your financial planners, talk to your lenders. Understand what the true costs are to close. There are things that people don't realize when they go into this, especially first-time home buyers, that there are, you know, there's more than just the down payment and the price of the home. There are other costs involved to close, and the more you know, the better you be prepared going into it. And, you know, be realistic about your budget, too. You may be perfectly qualified for more house, but you want to understand, you know, your style of living and what you really want to pay on a monthly basis, and include taxes in that. You know, keep your, I'd say, you know, if you work as a buyer working with an agent, understand that we do work on commission. We don't get paid until we close. So be professional about it. You know, when you have appointments, be on time and keep your appointments. You know, avoid things like calling the listing agent. If you're working with a buyer's agent, you got to realize that agency is really important in this business. And if you're calling a listing agent, you know, they're going to do everything that's what's best in the best interest for the seller. So let the buyer's agent do their job. You know, if you have questions, just share them with them. Even things like open house protocols, you know, like feel free to go to open houses, but you know, discuss with your agent, you know, what's the best way to handle that if you're going to go check out open houses on your own. Some areas it's really frowned upon. Really, it's about communication overall.
Good.
This is all about communication and relying on the team that you put together and asking the right questions.
You said some things there I want to layer on, in a sense that you said about doing your homework and the inspection process. And that's something I tell people to do, is they should be doing the inspection process before they even hire an inspector. Tank sweeps is one thing that I will never tell anybody not to have a tank sweep, because as soon as I do, they'll find a tank, whether it's supposed to be there or not. But there are some things you can do ahead of time to save you the money. You know, you can call the town and you can get an OPA request, and normally you can do it pretty fast. I mean, usually most towns will turn it around. An open request is an open public records act, and it allows you to pull the permits on any house. So if you know the house had an oil tank, you can go to the town and ask them to pull the records for that house, and they'll have all the open permits and all the closed permits. So if they have a permit for an oil tank removal and then you have a closed permit, then you can be assumed, you rest assured that the tank was pulled and it was certified and that it's closed properly. If there's an open permit and it was never closed, then you can assume that maybe it wasn't pulled, or maybe it was, you know, it was pulled and it wasn't pulled officially. Things like that. Deck construction, additions, you can find that all out ahead of time. So if you're concerned about those things, don't wait to hire me or another inspector to find those out. You can find some of those out ahead of time. Chris mentioned your resources. Talk to the neighbors. Like if you bought a house in my circle, now I have a circle that's about 45 homes in it. Every house had a buried oil tank at one point or another. So guess what? Ask the neighbor. Was there buried oil tanks here? If he says, yeah, everybody had them, some people still have them. Guess what? Now you know that maybe you do pay for the tank sweep. But if they say, no, we've had gas since they built it, you got to make an educated decision. You still may want to have the tank sweep. That's all right to do. But I think you can make an educated decision. If the houses were built in the last 10 years and they've had gas since they put them in, there's probably not a tank in the ground, and you probably can save yourself that couple hundred bucks. So I encourage people to do that, and they should be doing their first inspection without the inspector, because you shouldn't be hiring an inspector to find the obvious things. Hire the inspector to find the things that you won't know about. And Chris mentioned that. I think that's important, and it would tie it back to there. This time of year, Chris, is there anything exciting about, should the buyers be out there looking now? Is this the best time? Because I know there's like 50 houses a day going on the market in Morris County. 100, and I'm sure, is somewhere right after that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time for both buyers and sellers. The spring market activity picked up. It's always a good time to buy and sell. But right now you've got it's interesting. The housing market, they've been proven to be really resilient lately, despite projections of a really tough year for the industry. It's still a little early to say how the whole year is going to play out, but there's a lot of economic fundamentals that remain positive, especially for buyers. Rates are down 9 basis points, even just since November. Everyone knows that they're at historical lows, but even just in the last few months, rates have really been in the favor for buyers. And as you said, inventory is picking up. It's been, for me personally, as an agent, it's been frustrating for buyers because inventory has been low, which creates situations of where there's multiple offers and buyers miss out. But overall, as we're moving into really in the heart of the spring inventory, spring market, and the inventory is picking up, so it's making it a bit easier for buyers to get out there. It's a great time for both. I love the spring market. Things are we're all very busy right now, and it's very exciting.
Let me ask you, if you're moving to a new area, especially if you're moving out of state, I've read somewhere where some people say to rent before you buy, because that way you get to know the neighborhoods. Because I could only imagine, like, if I was moving to Atlanta, that should I live in Peachtree? Should I live in this, Aurora? I'd be afraid to buy and then find out, I should have lived in Parsippany. You know what I mean? Do you recommend that, or is it something that you should rely on the agent to help you with that?
It's a combination of things. Goes back to doing your research. I would say if you're looking to buy in an area that you're not familiar with, let's say you're relocating, interview people that live there. If you've got family nearby, they'll tell you, they'll give you your opinion, but you have to do your diligence. Don't just rely on one person's perspective. Rent before you own. I have some that do, some clients that have done that. They want to understand before they make a long-term decision about where they want to be. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. It really just comes up down to your risk tolerance and how much time you have.
Yeah, I can only imagine my wife wouldn't want to move twice again. We moved twice last time, and it wasn't a fun time.
Yeah, that's part of it, right? Because moving is stressful. It's a process. It can be expensive.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you, I used a dump truck to move me last time, though, so that was even more stressful. I used a buddy of mine's all aluminum clean dump truck to move all my furniture, so it created a bit more of a stress for my wife seeing her Queen Anne furniture being moved in a dump truck. I'm laughing because I'm just picturing my wife when she saw me loading her furniture into the back of a dump truck. You can only imagine the next time I move, we'll be with a padded van line. It won't be me in the back of a dump truck.
Yeah, you know, whenever you move, something breaks.
Yeah,
it's like you gotta realize that going into it.
Yeah, there was a scuff in the coffee table that I have yet to live down. That I swear was there before I moved it, but I'll never be able to prove it. But anyway, you mentioned that. But, you know, one of the things I saw as an inspector, now that I'm out there and I've, you know, done over a couple hundred inspections and stuff, is there's neighborhoods that I didn't even know existed. And I think that's what you count on an agent to help you with because, you know, I've lived in Morris County, in Hunterdon County, this area, most of my life. But there are, you know, I've gone down roads that I didn't even know existed. And then it opens up into a housing development or some beautiful homes. And I had no idea they existed. So I guess that's the part that the agent can offer too, right?
It goes back to that, what I mentioned earlier about, going deep with and using your, you know, relying on your agent to be a consultant. I think about those situations and the questions I will ask are about lifestyle. You know, the house is one thing, but the location is so critical. I will ask questions about, you know, do they like, about what they like to do. Do they, you know, does the family want to be close to the downtown? Or do they like, you know, having more land or being, you know, away from, the hustle and bustle and traffic? Or, you know, again, their commute, you know, if they're moving into an area and, you know, use the suburbs of New Jersey, for example. If I don't ask the question about where someone's working, I may not realize that, you know, maybe they want to be closer to public transportation. So all that plays a part in selecting not just the right house, but the right location. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, but even location, like you said, the old saying in real estate, right? Location, location, location. But even within that, I did a house the other day in the backside of Morristown that these beautiful homes that I knew didn't know existed less than, you know, a mile from the green. And you wouldn't know it unless you happen to go down one of these roads that you know, you get halfway down it, you're wondering if it, you know, disappears into the woods, but then all of a sudden it opens up. And so there's a case where, you know, location, it's right location, but I would have never found it if I wasn't looking for it.
Yeah, I was thinking of I just thought of a client that was moving in from out of state, and they had an area in mind. To your point, what we did, we looked at a few houses, and then I said, "Yeah, let's take a little break here, and let's just drive around the neighborhood a bit." And I wanted to understand the setting, right? What was appealing, you know, what was appealing to them? So I took them to a few different parts of town, and didn't ask for comments at that point. And we went back to a coffee shop, and I said, "All right, of all the neighborhoods that we drove around, all the streets we drove around, you know, what was most appealing to you? Let me understand the type of setting you're looking for."
Yeah, and did they tell you anything that was surprising? I mean,
well, it uncovers, it helps me, right? It helps me understand.
No, I was just looking for, did they, like, you know, I know I've had customers that, I've done one house for them, and then they didn't buy it for some reason. And then the second house I did for them, it was like 180 degrees different. So, I mean, I've seen people change their minds in their direction, too. And, you know, usually people are looking for what they're looking for, you know?
Yeah. No, they ended up what I uncovered specifically with that client was I found out that they, you know, they really like to be have more privacy. You know, some of the areas that were close to. And the interesting thing was they initially told me that they were looking for something that was close to downtown so they could, you know, walk to shops. And then they ended up buying in a completely rural, like in a rural area with green acres behind them. And, you know, that was the setting that they chose.
Yeah.
Initially they thought they were going someplace else, but after looking at different neighborhoods and, you know, finding this street with, there's only 20 houses on it, What was appealing to them was just that the houses weren't on top of each other. They had a little bit of room to let the dog run around in their yard, and that's what they ended up choosing.
And that's interesting. It's sort of like you got to play detective, and you got to ask the questions to really get, see through the smoke scene. Like, and you know what? I've taught sales many times, and that's sort of what you do in sales is you try to uncover the smoke screen because people will give you reasons that are not really the obstacles, and you really want to find out the true obstacles to find out the right solution.
We pivot all the time, Larry. Okay. It happens in the majority of the home searches that I've done with buyers. That, you know, they go into the process thinking they want A, B, and C, and end up with X, Y, and C. You know, it's interesting how it works out.
Yeah, it's funny because I had a conversation with a buyer about open concept, and we chuckled because, you know, I love the way it looks on TV, and HGTV makes it look so beautiful when you open up the whole house like that. But, you know, and it's great when you have the family over and you're having a Christmas party. But 9 times out of 10, when you're watching the game and your wife's in the kitchen with, or it shouldn't be your wife, your significant other's in the kitchen, and the noise level. I mean, all of a sudden that open concept, I said, I think they invented the man cave because they had the open concept and you can't hear the TV when everybody's talking. So it's funny because the buyer was telling about how they really, you know, kind of reversed themselves. They wanted a great room for the family, but they didn't really care about that open concept all of a sudden. It wasn't as appealing as it looks on TV.
Yeah.
Because I always get a kick out on HGTV. They show you the big open concept, and a lot of times they don't show you a TV. And I always say, where's the TV? And my wife will say, there's always a TV there. I said, there's always a TV there. But So let's talk about the mistakes buyers make. What is the biggest mistake that they make or a seller does? I mean, is it they price it too high or they expect expectations or, you know, going in not qualified? What would you think is your biggest mistake that you like to avoid?
Well, for buyers, I'd say the mistake that they that are made most often is, you know, they think they're ready and they may not be. You know, even if they're motivated to buy, they haven't really done the research or haven't talked to a real estate professional about the whole process. And, you know, that's often the case with buyers that they have, or another one is that they haven't really spoken to a lender to understand their process. You know, I've had clients that, you know, you give them the information, but they may not follow it completely, and, you know, do something during the transaction. I had one buyer that was so excited about his purchase, you know, with his girlfriend, and ended up we had to change his financing because he went and financed an engagement ring.
You know, so just in the middle of it.
Yeah, so it just ends up in a situation where they just didn't follow the recommendations. For sellers, having a clear strategy for a seller is really important going into it. You know, the marketing plan, the pricing plan, and not just the initial price, but, you know, what to do 2 or 3 weeks in. If they're not getting the traction or the offers that they're looking for, and how to listen to the market. You know, real estate agents and sellers themselves, we may set a price, but we don't set the market. The buyers set the market, and sellers need to realize that. You can price a home any price you want, you know, $10 million, but it doesn't mean that's what the buyers are going to pay, be willing to pay. There are some pitfalls, but again, it goes back to the consultation part of it and listening to your professional and spending some time before going out to see a house and spending some time before going on the market to understand what those pitfalls could be and how to handle them. So if situations do come up, no one's surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I have got a couple of friends. I mean, actually, I had an old teacher of mine ask me for some advice because his wife has passed away and he was going to sell his house and he wanted me to look at it. And I looked at it and I walked in and I said, oh my, it reminded me of my father's house. It was 1987 in the house. And he was like, should I replace the cabinet? Should I do the kitchen? Should I do the bathroom? And I said, listen, that's why you need an agent. I said, get an agent in here early. I mean, you know, he wasn't looking to sell it for the next 6 months, I think. But I said, get an agent in here early and they'll tell you what you need to fix and what you can leave. Some things are better off not doing and pricing the house correctly. Because, I mean, the house was a beautiful 3,000 square foot house, but it needed a lot of work. And somebody who's buying that may not want to buy it when it's all finished, or might not like your finish, and you're not going to get your return. So I said to him, you know, here's an example where I said the agent will pay off in spades, that you'll get some free advice, and they'll tell you, you know, maybe you price it at 50 grand below market, but then you don't have to spend the 70 grand fixing the kitchen and the bathrooms and the hall.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Listen to your agent about home prep. Not everybody has the financial means or even desire to put in new floors and new countertops. Actually, the most valuable changes you can make is just making sure you have a well-manicured front lawn. You know, that curb appeal is so important, and a pleasant entryway. You know, that's your first impression as you walk into the house. So those are the two key areas to focus on. And then clean your rooms, you know, so the buyer can focus on the home and not your stuff. Like the first piece of advice that I give to a seller is, you know, declutter. And make sure that every room has a purpose. Not every buyer has vision. An empty room, you know, it can be confusing sometimes for buyers. Well, what's this room going to be, and how is it going to be used, and what they may not be able to envision themselves in it, and they certainly don't want to see too many pictures of, you know, family pictures or someone else's house, because it's difficult for them to picture themselves there. So, you know, taking everything off of the refrigerator and removing some of the tchotchkes and family pictures helps buyers, you know, envision themselves in that house.
I see that, but I see that's hard for people to do, because they do take the house personal. And it's like when I do an inspection and the seller doesn't leave, it gets very difficult at times, because the seller wants to interject. And like I'll say, well, here's a bathroom, and, you know, it's aged, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's on, and then, you know, and I think people got to separate that, and they got to separate. And that's where the agent comes in to give them advice to go to lunch and leave the house alone and let them watch the house for you.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. A house is more than a house, it's a home, and you have your own touches on it. So I know it can be a difficult conversation sometimes.
But, you know, I'm reminded what one agent, I'll give a shout out to Jelsa Malenga, because she's been sort of a mentor to me for many years. I actually had her in high school. She was a teacher I had in high school, and she's an agent at Coldwell Banker there. And she said to me that, you know, people – you know, they don't think the agent does much. And then one guy, she said, I showed them four houses and they bought the fourth one. And they're like, why am I paying you? You didn't do anything. And she says, well, aren't I a damn good agent? I showed you four houses and you bought one of them. I could have showed you 50 houses. And I think that's key, because, you know, it's funny, because when we bought my house, an agent showed my wife house after house. And my wife would take four steps into a house, and if she smelled pet dander or she didn't like the, you know, there's a smoker in the house, she walked out. That was just her. She wasn't going to do that. But yet they kept showing her houses like that. And then finally we had a different agent, and guess what? We found a house. So I think, you know, the agent has to listen, because hopefully they're showing you houses that fit your market and what you're looking for.
Yeah, good agents will go and preview homes before they take their buyers out to see it. Once an agent understands, during the consultation, they're asking all the right questions, and a good agent will go out and preview the homes. You know, an agent's time is just as valuable, and the buyer's time is just as valuable. And some people want to go out to see 50 houses, but it's exhausting. And, you know, why look at a house that you're not going to purchase? And, you know, so good agents will actually narrow it down and go back to the consultation and say, you know, these are the things that are most important. So we're only going to see the homes that fit this criteria.
Yeah, I mean, I love that on Property Brothers when they show them a house that's $1.8 million and they have a budget of, you know, $600,000. And they say, well, we just wanted you to see what you can't have. And I'm like, you know, yeah. An agent does that to me, I'm going to fire him on the spot. I mean, well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Chris, and we're going to wrap up after that. But we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the buying-selling process. You know, one of these days I'm going to figure out how to use the phone, and we'll take phone calls, and, you know, we'll get somebody like Chris on there, and you guys can fire away and ask him, because he's good under pressure. I've seen him under pressure, and he can answer almost anything you have to do with real estate. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Listen to this.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. Chris, you're still with us.
I'm still here, Larry.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I didn't hang up on you during the break. But, hey, Chris, before I forget, I'll give you a couple minutes to do your 30-second elevator pitch and get your name and your phone number out there because sometimes I forget that. But we are at the Chamber of Commerce here in Hunterdon County, and our goal is to do business. And so I want to make sure that people hear your name and your number.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, so we service all of New Jersey, and my website is ChristopherMcMahon.exprealty.com. And if you have any questions, you can give me a call direct at 973-527-5318. And it's ChristopherMcMahon@exprealty.com for my email.
Great. And if Chris can't help you, if he's tied up, I mean, he works with the DeVoe Group, and I've done several houses with the DeVoe Group. One I did for Eunice the other day, and it was a difficult house, but it was the right house, and we'll go from there. But there's a whole team there that can help you. So now, Chris, tell me something. Tell me about the process. I mean, what, you know? Okay, I'm ready to buy, and you know, you might, let's say my son, he's 28 years old, and he's ready to buy. What does he need to put in place before he even calls the agent? Is there steps that he should be aware of?
Yeah, the first thing that, you know, buyers should think about is how much they can afford. Not just what, you know, what they're willing to pay, but, you know, there are a lot of tools online you can find, you know, mortgage affordability calculator. You know, use that as leverage for determining, you know, what you can afford, but also what you're willing to pay. Before you even start to look at home, you know, have conversations with your spouse, contact a lender, you know, look at your credit, your payment history. Just you need to make sure your finances are in line, you know, before you go out and start looking at homes that perhaps you can't afford, because it is an emotional process, and the last thing you want to do is fall in love with a home that you know you can't afford. So I would say the very first step is to talk to a lender and figure out your finances.
I think it goes back to what you said about doing your homework, too, because there are many people don't understand the cost is other than the mortgage. I mean, you know, Chase is a big part of my monthly budget, but so is the local taxes, so is the home insurance, so is the upkeep and the oil bill, you know, and things like that. Energy, I mean, I spend probably $3,000 a year on energy, and that's, you know, serious stuff. I mean, and people don't plan on that.
You know, once you get your financial pre-qualification and you understand what the costs are going to be, you'll have a better you'll know what your purchasing power is going to be, and you'll feel more confident about making offers.
And I think Chris is right. The internet
provides very important first step.
I think you're right. The internet today offers a lot more than when I bought my house. You didn't have that. You counted on family and friends and, you know, the family living class in high school that taught you about the closing costs and all the things. But today there's a lot of tutorials out there. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there from the realtors. And make sure you pick a reasonable source that's somewhat reliable. I mean, don't go to, you know, Joe Schmo's website and do it. I would think there's plenty of things out there by reputable companies that explain it to you, and would be happy to do that. And if you need a mortgage guy, call an agent and ask them, because I'm sure they're happy to give referrals to people that they know and trust and have done good work for them. Not just, you know, don't forget, the realtor doesn't make their money on a fast sale. I mean, they make their money on building happy customers, and they're in it for the long term. The realtors that have been in business that are successful have built beautiful homes and put people in homes that they enjoy and like. They don't do it just to make that fast buck. It's a lot harder to do that than it is to make people happy. Chris, is there anything you want?
We're the lifeline throughout the whole process. You know, and we're in it to get you close. We have the resources that are going to be that we can line up in order to get that done. We're not it for, you know, quick transaction. And, you know, it's about relationships. It's not the stock market. You know, this is a long-term thing. So finding the right agent that can connect you with the right professionals is really important.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a training the other day for, VA loans and learned a lot about those, about how those affected. I also learned about a program from New Jersey that gives you $10,000 if you make less than, I think it was $130,000. So there are many programs out there that you may not know about that your agent can help you with and point you in the right direction. I thought that was very interesting. I taught a course for agents on house inspection because I'm certified now to teach CEU credits to real estate agents, and I teach a course in inspection 101, preparing the buyer and the seller. Also, I teach one on mold and radon, sat there and listened to a mortgage guy explain this program, and I'm thinking, you know, right away I'm thinking of my son, thinking, okay, $10,000, that's a nice little nest egg the state gives you. You have to stay in the house for 5 years, but it seemed like a good program. So if you're interested in things like that, make sure you talk to a mortgage person or an agent to make sure you get what's out there. And they change all the time, Chris, don't they?
Yeah, there's less than 30 lenders in the state that have access to that particular program you're talking about. And I've had clients that, you know, they were able to take advantage of that, and it made a huge difference for them financially. You know, not to have to, you know, use all of their funds for closing. That's a great program, it's worked out great for my clients.
Oh, that's good. And keep in mind, you got to keep a realistic attitude. When you're buying a house, you're buying, you know, usually you're buying a 15, 30, 20, 30 year mortgage, and you got to look at things. I mean, when I explain things to people, they'll say to me, well, the furnace is old. And I'm like, yeah, the furnace is old, but it's working. So it's not a defect. Should you plan on replacing it? Maybe. But don't forget, if you're buying a $300,000, $400,000 house and you're talking about a $5,000 furnace, unless you're really strapped for money, you know, most of the oil companies, most of the power companies will finance a furnace over time. But you're talking about $5,000 and you're talking about not buying the house of your dreams. That doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes. So you got to look at that, and you got to be willing to tackle it. But I don't pretend to tell people what to tackle. I just tell them, you know, about the house, just like the agents. I don't think you got to stop short of telling them what to do, but you give them all the information that they can make an educated decision and they can feel good about the decision. Chris, you've heard me say it many times. It's comfort to close. I mean, I want them to be comfortable with their purchase.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's like going through the steps of analyzing needs during that consultation is so important. It sets the stage, and really, it sets the stage, it sets the purpose and the tone for the rest of the transaction. So it's a critical step in this, and don't overlook it. You know, spend the time to develop a strategy and an exit strategy, too, because sometimes it doesn't work out. So what's the plan B? And always have that so no one's surprised at the end of it. You know, it's a critical first step after getting your financial pre-qualification done. You know, and then I look at it as, okay, after you have a strategy and you have a plan, now you're ready to start selecting properties. And it's different from viewing properties. Again, you want to look at the inventory and then select the top, right, the best of what's out there before you start going out. And then you're only viewing the properties that fit your criteria and are the best of the best. From there, you're ready to write your offer and to purchase. And again, it's about market conditions, and a good agent will call the listing agent if they're representing the buyer and get some information about what's not really available, but just to see, you know, how things have been going. You know, they're going to the open house, they're previewing it. You can tell a lot by just what's on the market, how long it's been in the market, if there've been price changes. It's to be strategic, you know, so you can be strategic about the type of offer you're going to write.
All right, we're going to wrap up now, and I want to thank Chris McMahon from eXp for joining us. You have any? You heard it here in a sense that if you get an agent and they don't ask you a lot of questions, it's probably time to find another agent because they should be hungry for information from you. So if they don't meet you and ask you a lot of questions, I would suggest you find another agent. It's just like a doctor. Don't let them diagnose you without knowing what's wrong or what you're looking for. So, Chris, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it on short notice, and we'll be talking again, I'm sure.
Anytime, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. This is Larry McAtee from Home Team Inspection. If you need an inspection, give me a call at 973-547-7748. If you have any questions or you have any topics you want me to cover, let me know. You can always email me at lmcentee, that's lmcentee, at hometeam.com. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks because next Good Friday we're off, and enjoy Easter, and remember, I'll talk to you at the end of the month. Thanks.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A leading Republican makes a case for finding the origins of the Russia investigation.
If there was a political bias, if there was a political nature here, if there was something that shouldn't have been, or the courts were misled, that's something Mr. Comey doesn't want to talk about, is what was actually in those applications to get the ability to go do what they were doing.
That's Republican Congressman from Georgia, Doug Collins, talking on Fox News. Attorney General William Barr has said he plans to launch an investigation, saying he believes the Trump campaign in 2016 was spied on. President Trump says the future of 5G internet is now.
By the end of this year, the United States will have 92 5G deployments and markets nationwide. The next nearest country, South Korea, will have 48.
President Trump speaking at the White House on Friday, the president also talked about expanding rural broadband internet access. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything. I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Congress is beginning its two-week Easter recess with Democrats and Republicans pointing fingers at each other. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
The fingers are being pointed because lawmakers left town without approving a disaster relief bill. The deal breaker, additional hurricane recovery funds for Puerto Rico. Democrats blame Republicans for following President Trump's refusal to approve more money for that U.S. territory, even though it's still suffering from two huge hurricanes that slammed the island in 2017. Republicans blaming Democrats for introducing bills they know the president will veto, saying that's delaying help to Midwestern states that are recovering from this year.